Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you may know that I come from an Irish background, though I was born and raised in England. My mother's family was Collins, and my stepfather's family, from which I have my family name, comes from Northern Ireland, or Nurin Ireland, as it's meant to be pronounced. I'm also, on my maternal grandmother's side, from Devonshire. As you can tell by the opening liturgy that I wrote, that poor Ruth had to struggle with, "Come God Creator, makes us one in Christ." That was a typo, I'm sorry about that. And well, actually what comes from my Devon heritage apparently is my love of clotted cream and my ability to drive through country lanes at warp speed, as my wife tells me, or she calls it green warp speed as the hedges go by like that. But there is something that both sides of my heritage do share. And if you add in a little Indian from my grandfather's side, all three parts of my heritage share. And that's a love of stories. Well, most of us love stories, but there's something deep in certain cultures that revel in story, that finds meaning in being story makers, story keepers, and storytellers, myth makers, and holders of epic tales. The fairy folk, the princesses, the kings and saints of Ireland, the epics of India and the Katya, and the story factory, which is Bollywood. And the devil may have gone down to Georgia, but apparently he likes to holiday in Devonshire because there are so many stories of the devil's footprints, the devil's cauldron, devil's stones all over Devonshire, with the wonderful tales, if you've ever seen them on social media, of April and June sitting in the farmhouse spinning yarns, or evenings, many evenings, which I've spent in the pub hearing about the hairy hands or the ghosts of Dartmoor. I can tell you a few of those if you want, but probably not now. All of us tell stories and all of us live stories in our everyday lives. We share them at mealtimes, we share them on social media, such as my adventures with the wasp nest this week. We share them when we gather with friends or when we come together as a Christian community. But we can choose which stories we live into and which ones we take meaning from. And in the Western Church, we have sadly so often chosen to live from and into a story of cultural superiority, a story which came with colonization and found its grounding not in the stories of scripture, but in the doctrine of discovery and in the belief of terra nullis. The lands uninhabited by whites were inferior and needed to be saved by European settling. Meanwhile, any resources in those lands were fair game for whichever colonizing empire wanted them. And the stories that already existed in these lands, rich and diverse stories, deeply rooted in the land and complex relationships within and between families, communities, and tribes, in relating to all creation and to the Creator, all of those stories were disregarded. Myths and legends, diverse languages and traditions which had created and sustained, which had passed on and renewed meaning and identity, they were considered heathen or impure, and they were to be replaced with a new white patriarchal model of religion and a particular exposition of the stories of Jewish and Christian faith, which created a sense that the Europeans were the chosen people referred to in scripture, a chosen people chosen to take the land God had given them, meaning pretty much any land that we laid eyes on. The story we lived out as church for many centuries was pretty much the antithesis of the story of a God on the side of the oppressed, a God of justice, a God of the downtrodden and the marginalized, that story that leaps out from our Holy Scripture, a God who entered into humanity in the person of Jesus Christ and was murdered by the forces of empire. Or as James H. Cohn, author of A Black Liberation of Theology, writes, was killed on the first century form of a lynching tree. We have subverted the scriptural story for our own ends. We as a church have so internalized that story that we still use it to oppress, exclude, and imprison. We still continue to live in structures which are racist and more concerned with keeping the bad people out and us safe than they are with reaching out with love to a world that is hurting. And on this National Indigenous Day of Prayer, we are challenged again to walk away from that story, to walk in a different story, to walk out of a story of white, patriarchal, empire-based faith, and to seek to hear and to live again the story of the God of the poor, a God of justice, a God of all people, of all creation. We are challenged again to think about the language that we use to talk of the divine and the stories we choose from the vast library of scripture and our own experience of faith. Those stories we choose to describe our own individual and shared story of living and loving. What story are we telling? What story are we living? You will notice that though today's liturgy does share the shape that we're used to, the words within it are not what we are used to. It doesn't look quite as it has done for the past few months. We have been gifted liturgy by the Indigenous Anglicans of ACIP, the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples, and the Church of Red Lake, Minnesota. Liturgy we are encouraged to use on this National Indigenous Day of Prayer, and some of which we regularly use in our daily online worship services. This liturgy moves away from using the male-dominated language of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to talking more, as we often do at St. John's, of Creator, Word, and Spirit. You'll also hear an awful lot less Lord and King in our week-by-week liturgies as we seek alternative ways to speak of God, Christ, and Spirit. It's not that we can't use those images, it's just that they can't be the dominant words. They are a part of our Christian story. They are not the whole. If we look at our gospel reading for today, we see images that resound with creative energy. It's a creation story that deliberately starts in a different way to the ancient myths of the Hebrew people in Genesis 1 and 2, and yet deliberately echoes it also. It begins by recognizing the dynamic work of God in creation and of God's essence as story in the Word. The Word made flesh in Jesus Christ becomes the epitome of God's story of faith and faithfulness, of hope and longing, of love and grace. This is the story we should begin with. How different our approach to the world would be if, as our Indigenous siblings have taught us, we begin rooted in this story of God Creator, of the Divine Spirit alive in creation, in which we as human beings have the privilege of being co-creators and stewards. How different our story would be if we saw all creation as charged with the grandeur of God. If we saw the divine in the face of each one of the 6 billion fellow travelers upon this earth. How different our world would be if we recognized that the wisdom of the Spirit is found in the stories and the myths and the dances and the languages of every culture, and not just in a particular way of expressing faith, which comes from a Eurocentric interpretation of ancient Near Eastern texts. We would then know what it means when Isaiah writes so powerfully of talking of God, the great creator, or when the psalmist begins those words of today's psalm with "the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows God's handiwork." We would truly know what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. And thank you, Sarah, for telling us to do that three times, because we can't forget now. We would know what it means to rejoice in the Lord always when we see the presence of God in every moment and every person, seeking the story of the divine in all that is. On this National Indigenous Day, we give thanks for the resilience, the strength, the graciousness, and the fight of the First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples of these lands, for all that they have given us and continue to give of us, but also to demand of us who are settlers and of settler stock. There are new stories to be told, rooted deep in old stories of faith and culture, but open to the ever-dynamic, creative love of the divine. Are we willing to listen and open up to their transforming power? Thanks be to God.